If I eat a big fruit, not a small fruit. I'm not talking about grapes. I'm a man who likes a pear. If I'm going to eat a pear or an apple, what I do is I take the fruit whole, and then I go up to my office with a knife. And I sit there, and I carve off slices.
You're whittling.
It makes me feel like a mountain man.
You're whittling.
Did you ever see Dennis the Menace?
You know I did. My name is Justin McElroy, and I know the best pear in my mouth.
My name's Dave Tack, and I played a game this week.
My name is Christopher Plant, and Russ Frushick is sitting right next to me.
My name is Russ Frushick, and I know the best game of the week.
Neighbors are pissed.
This is the Besties, where we pit the best video games of the week and the best pairs of the week against each other in Mortal Kombat to see which pair or video game reigns supreme. And then we pit them against each other, and one winner tries to unseat our current reigning champion. Now, Russ Freshstick, what's our current reigning champion?
Okay, so we knocked Spelunky, we retired Spelunky, it's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And last week we made, I have no idea, what did we make Game of the Year?
It was a good game.
Good game. Okay.
Oh, now, it does matter.
Now this week we have three actual real ass games going up against each other. So who knows how it'll shake out.
None of them are a dollar.
I do want to mention just at the top of the show, I finished the pair and have moved on to Mueller's Corner Yogurt. This is a yogurt very popular already in Europe, where on most of it is yogurt, but then there's this one corner of it has a topping. In mine, it's sort of like crunchy cocoa balls.
Is it random, the topping?
No. I mean, like, you know the topping you're buying. And then
it's
you
not
can
like
fold
a Kindle egg?
You fold the container, and you dump the topping into the yogurt. Now, so, like, I have a nice blend here, and I can sort of blend at my leisure.
You know, some people might not want to hear you scarf down food during a podcast.
Huh, that's weird. All right, so Chris Plant, you don't get to talk this week, even though you're the commissioner. You're out of the game. Who do you want to go first? And we got to be quick, so don't talk about whatever dumb thing you've been doing. You have been resigned to the corner, the bad boy seat. No pairs for you. Just a dunce cap.
Dave, you're going first.
Oh, this is exciting. Well, this week I played and reviewed Poppo and Yo, which is a game on the PlayStation Network. It's super easy to describe how to play the game. It's a little more complicated to talk about the backstory. We did a feature. Matt Leone did a feature on Polygon about the game a couple of months back about how Minority Media, who's the developer of the game, headed by a guy named Caballero, and he basically wanted to make sort of the story of his life. And the background of that is that when he was a kid, his father was an abusive alcoholic, and Poppo and Yo is basically a metaphor for that. So, you know, super fun premise, really, really light material. But it's got the message right up front. The game starts with basically a message directly from him, saying that it's dedicated to his mother and sister who both survived the monster and his father.
And it says that at the beginning?
That is a splash, like Nintendo style splash screen.
So they're not really hiding the whole context of what's going on.
They wear it on their sleeve.
Does the leaderboard appear before or after that?
Both. It's a constant leaderboard.
Is there a trophy for like donating to battered people's?
That's sad. That's just sad. It's not even a joke. It's just sad.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
It is kind of horrible, but not.
Thanks for bringing some much needed levity to the podcast. Right. Save Attack.
Tell me about the game.
You're welcome. It's horrible, but not quite in the way that they intended. Your character is a little kid named Kiko, and he basically runs around a land of make believe to escape his father in the real world. And what you really do throughout the entire game is solve puzzles. You move into an area. There's no obvious exit. You look around and find things to touch and move and twist and pull and turn. And by doing that, you move on to the next area and the next area and the next area. It's a neat mechanic at first, actually, because you're a kid and it's built around, you know, what a fantasy land would be like for kids. You have these little essentially chalk outlines of keys or ropes or pulleys or levers drawn into the side of buildings and walls. And you know, basically you're just looking around the area to find those things, turning the keys, figuring out what happens. And then progressing. You start off mostly alone. There's a little girl who's sort of mischievous and always one step ahead of you. At a certain point, you get a little robot friend who helps you fly a little. And then there's Monster, with a capital M, who is the metaphorical representation of Caballero's father. That's really... The problem with the game is that that's the whole game. There's a big story to be told, but he chooses to tell it within a game, and the game he tells it in isn't super compelling. I mean, it really is within the first, generously half an hour, you've essentially seen everything there is to see. So that key and that rope and that pulley I told you about just get remixed in every little level. The puzzles sort of blend into each other. And there's really very little to do, for the 3 or 4 hours that you would spend playing the game, depending on how much trouble the puzzles give you. The last sort of act when the metaphor really congeals, is pretty incredible. It's pitch perfect. I wouldn't go so far as to say that it makes the whole experience worth it. But it to its credit, it really does pay off in the end. The problem is, like I said, you can't really divorce the gameplay from the story. And the problem is that the story is pretty incredible. The gameplay is anything but.
And that concludes Act 1 of This American Life. On Act 2, Fatherhood, when David Sedaris tells us a story about when his papa left him at the amusement park.
Dave, I want to know... It's a left-handed compliment, I think.
It sounded like you were talking about how the metaphor congeals. Isn't there not really a metaphor when they sort of say it in the splash screen? Like, everyone knows what's going on.
Well, it's a little on the nose.
It's very video games that, like, we're going to make a metaphor, but don't panic. we are going to tell you what it is.
From the very beginning.
Oh, my God, you know what we need? We need a metaphor HUD. You play through a game heavy on metaphor, and then when you pan over it, the actual word for what the symbolism is appears.
Well, actually, that's more or less what the ending is about, is that... as on the nose as the rest of the game sort of is, although if you know the premise, you know what you're doing. But at the end, they make it very clear in a very interesting way where they actually sort of have the guts to change that gameplay and to sort of twist and turn.
Is it like
everything
buildings
that happened
turn
before.
Into like bottles of whiskey?
You're not far off.
Oh, my God. Oh, do Jesus. Not applaud that. Come on, Dave.
Dave, where do you balance on, and I don't, is the review for this written yet?
It is. Yeah, it should be up by the time everybody listens to this.
Okay. What did you end up giving it score-wise?
A 5.
If I'm the sort of person that, like, I can, I want to support projects like this, and I'm interested in even if it may be a little ham-handed, metaphor in games. Is it insufferable to play through? I mean, is it an unpleasant experience, or is it just uninspired?
No, the problem with it is that it's not compelling. The problem is that it plays its hand, like I said, within the first half an hour. And it's the ending that actually makes it worth it. But the real problem is I don't know who I would recommend this game to. I wouldn't tell my friends. I wouldn't tell my coworkers to play it. I mean, just as a pure gameplay experience, it flatlines. But if you want, like you said, to your question, if you want to support things like this, yeah, sure. It's not a bad game. It's just not... There's very little to recommend it. And that's unfortunate because it's clearly a labor of love. It's clear that this guy had big plans. It's just half of them fell flat.
Hmm. Well, unfortunate. But let's move on to yet another game. I want to hear...
What? You're not the commissioner.
I'm taking, but you know
who gets to talk right now?
I had that pear, and it's just filled me with vitamins.
You know who gets to talk right now? Here's who gets to talk. You do. Justin.
Me?
Please tell us about the next game.
All right. My game of the week is called Sleeping Dogs. Brief history on Sleepy Dogs. It started life
He was having a wild day outside with the ball, and then he came inside, and he was tuckered out.
Started life as a game called Black Lotus. It was bought by Activision, which decided, hey, this is kind of like that true crime game we used to make, but nobody actually liked very much. Let's call it True Crime Hong Kong. And then they're like, okay. So they made True Crime, and then they're like, we don't want to publish this. So... we'll sell it to somebody. Square Enix is like, that's cool, but we don't want to call it True Crime. And Activision's like, yeah, we're just joking about that anyway. It's not really very connected to that franchise at all. So they called it Sleepy Dogs. What is Sleepy Dogs? It's an open world action game, much in the style of Grand Theft Auto or Saints Row or what have you. You play an undercover cop named Wei Shen, whose sister fell into some bad business with the Triad gangs there in Hong Kong. She died as a result of a drug overdose, and Wei Shen decides to take it out on the Triads by going undercover, pretending to be one of them, and busting up their operation. And that is the story. Why the interesting thing, the most interesting thing I would say about Sleepy Dogs is the hand-to-hand combat is obviously it is inspired by a bunch of different martial arts films, and it is based on different martial arts moves and styles, and it's great. It's really fun. It's similar to the free flow combat system from Batman, even though they assure they say that their game was in development long before that. There is certainly some inspiration there, I think you could say, fairly safely. And for the first 4 to 5 hours of the game, you don't get a gun. It's just like all these different – you've got a move set that steadily builds. Each situation calls for different moves at different times. In every fight scene, there are environmental hazards. You know, you get a guy close enough to the circular saw and you can shove his head down onto it, or, even something as simple as throwing a guy through a plate glass window or into an aquarium or whatever. But the situation has to be the right environment. So it really does require, if not strategy, at least situational awareness for what moves to use when. Some enemies aren't susceptible to certain moves. But then about 5 to 6 hours in, they introduce guns, and it just starts to feel really uninspired. To the point where I think they probably knew it, because you don't typically keep a gun after a scene in which you have a gun. And when you do have a gun, the entire environment is built like... You'll know that a gunfight is coming up because you'll start to notice somebody has strewed a bunch of crates around and just not been very tidy with their crates. So in that, once it gets to that point, it's a little less enjoyable because it starts to feel like most games. One interesting thing they do with the gunplay is similar to Max Payne 3, you can trigger a slow motion effect by, in this game, it's jumping over cover. So if you jump over cover and then target something, you will slow down time and be able to take off get off a couple shots before the enemies can react, which is a cool risk reward idea, because you know you have to leap out of your cover to get this off, but if you do it right, you know, you can bring down three guys before time speeds back up. The driving is pretty good. It's made by the United Front Games, which made Modern Nation Racers, so they, you know, they know how to at least put a driving mechanic together, and it's very, the inspiration is evident there. It's very loose and fun and forgiving. It's just overall the whole package doesn't really congeal.
You don't get a gun, like, because it's an open world game, right? So like you can't like find a gun in an alleyway like in a GTA game.
You can't. No. You'll never find a gun in an alley. There's no stores where you buy guns. The only time that you will find a gun is in a mission or the very last ability you can unlock on the skill tree is the ability to find guns in the trunks of police cars. So
that's the only way you can get a gun not in a mission.
Right, exactly. Now, sometimes after a mission, you can hold on.
I see a small problem that I just want to ask you about.
Okay.
You are a policeman.
Oh, good, Chris Plant. You have stumbled onto the number one thing that is makes sleeping dogs bizarre.
Everything else seems very normal to me.
Yes.
But you can't open car trunks? Do you have hands?
Yes. What do you
mean? They're locked.
What do you mean you can't open car trunks?
Well, if you're a policeman,
you don't have like a skeleton key for every cop
car. Police car.
Right.
Why don't you just open the trunk?
Because then they'll know you're a cop.
Right.
Because cops open trunks.
I'm a cop.
They don't let cops have keys.
No, you're undercover. You can't just go open a.
People would know that you're a cop if you're opening fucking cop cars.
Right.
What about at the end? Are you not undercover anymore?
It's gone so far. You're so deep in the gangs that no one cares.
No one. They're like, wow, that guy's a real badass. Look at him. Take out those Chevy keys and pop open that trunk.
That's where like the narrative. Clint Hawking calls it a ludonarrative dissonance. This idea of like you are playing a cop, and this is that is the story is that you are a cop, but then you check the statistics and see that you have killed 150 people from behind cover, and that's the only stat it tracks as far as kills go. So like that doesn't even count the people I've killed when I haven't hid behind something. I am like I don't know how bad these gangs are, but there's this guy who's killed 150 people, and most of them are gang members, but a few weren't.
It's the Nathaniel Drake effect. It's like, yeah, hey guys, I just want to, like, you know, have a good time after I snap 800 men's necks.
Except he is a legal police officer charged specifically with not murdering people.
But he's undercover, so he has to keep his secret.
He is so far undercover that you can't find him. He's like a little kitten hiding underneath blankets. That's how far undercover he is.
Would that season of The Wire be? Where it's like, I have to get out. I've killed 182 people.
I'm literally the worst criminal ever. I'm the worst criminal. And there's other weirdness, like, as far as narrative goes. And it feels like someone came in and said, okay, we bought this game. Finish it as quickly as you can, or else we're not going to turn a profit on this. So, like, there's weird stuff like there are girlfriends in the game, okay? So you can call your girlfriend and go on a date. Some problems with that. One problem is it only happens once. You can only go on one date. You call a girl, you seduce her. You go on a mission where you do something for her. Maybe you beat somebody up or take some pictures of her or run across rooftops with her. And after that, you have sex with her. And then it unlocks something new on your mini map. And then you never ever, ever contact her again, ever.
Because you know the danger that you've put her in.
Yeah, yeah. You said you want some non-dissonance happening.
Yeah, they're right. Being, he can't get too close. He could just get close enough to... You know, and then he has to leave.
This sounds like something that is like happening in video games. Maybe it was happening a long time ago, but it feels more recent. Where this Brutal Legend, I Am Alive, like games that had kind of crazy or big ideas, and then they got to a point in the development cycle where whoever was in charge of it or responsible for the money was like, "Yeah, this is a good idea, but it's never gonna work. Like, and we need to stop putting money in it." And then somebody somewhere else, either like a different developer or a different publisher, is like, yeah, hey, maybe let's give it a try. And it gets shuffled around until it gets released. And just like bits and pieces of whatever that original thing was is right there. You know, it's I Am Alive was like the worst example of that, where it's like literally everything you do in the game was the first part of something that was obviously much bigger. But it's kind of a bummer to hear about it with this game, because it seemed like Square Enix was going to put a lot more money. Oh, I'm sure they did put a lot of money.
Oh,
into
I'm
it.
Sure, yeah.
You know what is nice, though, is it makes me want to go to Hong Kong, because apparently the triads are just fighting with karate in the streets, and that would be really cool to see.
I didn't tell you the weirdest thing about this girlfriend problem, though. There are four girlfriends in the game. One is played by Lucy Liu, and the other's played by Emma Stone. So, like, I don't know if this is a money issue or not, because that's bizarre.
But those are, you know what those are? Those are like bandages. They're like, you can buy it and it looks good. And actually developing the girlfriends would have cost a lot more money.
Yeah, it's just for...
Or more time. Maybe not more money,
but
definitely
It's just for the bullet
time.
Point. They wanted, hey, and we've got Hollywood talent, Lucy Liu and Emma Stone.
You know, it's the Bethesda solution.
Yeah,
you know, like I mean they do it with good games right. too, but they definitely do it with bad games where they're like, we could
they get
put a lot more money on what was that? Oh, Christ, Super Death Soldier.
Rogue Warrior.
Like, yeah, we could put some money into that, or we could hire Michael Chiklis.
No, it wasn't Michael Chiklis.
Whoever the hell. It was.
Rourke.
Oh yeah, Mickey Rourke who did a rap song at the end.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, so, that sounds lovely, Justin.
So well,
so it's
weird.
Anyway, it's as far as like my adjudication, it's very inoffensive. The fighting is actually genuinely really good. The driving is genuinely really good. And the shooting isn't bad. It's just the whole thing feels like, oh gosh, you guys got really close to doing something really interesting by like having a like the story of I said this in the review, the story of the guy who had to pretend to be a gangster while not killing people is like an interesting video game idea. The story of a cop who somehow forgets he's a cop long enough to become the most prolific murderer in the history of mankind, that's a video game. It's not you're not telling a story really anymore. I mean, you can't even pretend that you're telling a story. And like,
I mean, go ahead.
They're constantly making the least interesting choice.
My dream open world game is Rockstar making a Grand Theft Auto with a female cop. Like, that, to me, is everything I would want.
Why?
Because it's like, I mean, either if they take the exploitation way, where she's, like, been, like, she's in the LA department, and she's, like, picked on or abused by that, and then she kind of is against them, but also against the criminals. Like, I would love something like that.
The fact of the matter is, you can't make an open-world cop game where you don't kill people. I don't think that would work.
It's a different
like,
game. Well,
unless
think,
it's, like,
I
LA Noir,
I think it would
Noir,
work if it was, like, if it was, two, if it was a two-hour mission, like in... Like, if it was an expansion pack to Grand Theft Auto, that'd be great. But before we talk about this endlessly, I'm going to talk about some quick thing for our quick halftime, and then we'll get on to Russ's.
Okay.
But to make our halftime really quick, we are not covering iOS games this week. I'm sure there are some people who are thrilled. There are some people who do listen to this show because they like iOS games. And I'm just going to list off a few of these that we recommend, because this week was a banner week for
iPhone. It was a
good
week for iOS.
Flips Escape, which is a sequel to The Last Rocket. Jack Lumber, which is a new game by the people who made Smuggle Truck, and they got it published by Sega, and it's this weird lumberjack twist on Fruit Ninja, and it's very good. Horn, which is Zynga's attempt at actually spending money on a game, I believe.
Wait, is that the Phosphor Games joint?
I believe so. Yeah, that's the one that looks like a, from Dark like a Zelda-y adventure type.
It's the Dark Meadow guys.
Yeah, in Mad Skills BMX, which is by the people who did Mad Skills Motocross, which is a really, really good motorbike, kind of old-school Excitebike type of game.
Yep.
And this is the follow-up. And there's a whole bunch of other stuff. Oh, Random Heroes, which is by the people who did League of Evil. There's a lot of stuff. So if you do care about iPhone games, make sure to check out the store today because there's a lot of good stuff.
Yep.
But
can I just say that Zynga publishing an iPhone game that costs the free-to-play Zynga publishing an iPhone game that costs $7 is they got some pretty big nuggets.
It's ironic.
Yeah,
they swooped in and basically bought.
Oh, it's
that
Infinity
game.
Blade.
Oh my god,
is that
this is really weird. There's some shadow on like the window. Oh my, is that a giraffe?
Hey, what's going on in here? What, you guys recording a podcast or something?
There's like a hip hop giraffe that is just
it's me,
into
New York
my house.
Giraffe. How's it going, guys?
Why?
New
York Giraffe?
Hey, what are you guys doing over here? What, you got a mic and stuff?
New York Giraffe, we asked you to not come on the program anymore. We've told you your presence is not welcome here.
No, I make things better, right?
All right. Go on.
How's it going, guys?
Is this the bit? Is it just New York Giraffe introducing himself over and over again?
So here's the thing.
I'm trying to say yes and here, but it's very difficult.
I know you guys usually played some games. I played a game this week, and I thought instead of that jerk Russ doing a game, I could do a game.
Okay, New York Giraffe.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah, I guess.
You ready, Chris?
Uh-huh.
Okay, I played this game.
Whoa. What about me?
I don't care about you. Who are you? I don't even know you. Are you Griffin?
No, I'm Dave Tack. The one with the voice.
Who is this Dave Tack guy? What is this?
It's me.
So I played this game, Dust, The Elysian Tale. Have you guys heard of this game? No?
Yeah, I heard about it.
Okay, oh man. Let me tell you. So this game, you're like a squirrel or something, and he's got a hat. And he goes around exploring the world, slashing up other squirrels and trees and such. And it's like, you ever play that game, Castlevania, Symphony of the Night?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
God. It's like that game, but completely different.
No, the interesting thing here is, when I let New York Giraffe into my house, I assumed the reason he would show up would because he very specifically was pertinent to whatever game he was going to bring.
Yeah, it's me, New York Giraffe. I just played this game this week. What do you want?
It seems like really anyone could have made this very bland description of the game that was played this
Actually,
week.
Actually, as it happens, there's a certain element of this game that appeals to me greatly.
Okay.
Let me just say, the ladies in this game are smoking.
Oh, good.
Oh, boy. Let me ask you something. Chris.
Uh-huh?
You like Rabbit Girls?
No.
Oh my god, I love Rabbit Girls.
Uh-huh.
We got some busty Rabbit Girls in Dust the Elysian Tale that will make you go home and cry to your mama. They are so sexy.
This is really, really interesting because I kind of figured New York Rabbit would show up to talk about Rabbit Girls, but
no,
surprise
it's me.
To me, New York Giraffe.
I don't judge. I'm a love. It's not just rabbits for me. I like cowgirls. I like horse girls. You name it. Zebra girls.
Why cowgirls and horse girls, which are just derogatory names for girls?
I've never heard horse girls before.
She has a horse face.
What? I'm just saying, there's some sexy ladies in this game. Of course, they have fur, but that's what I prefer. See what I did?
Yeah, I see what you did.
So,
is anyone else distracted by New York Giraffe's neck is the most chokeable character Russ has ever created. We could literally all choke New York Giraffe simultaneously, and there would still be room for kids to swing around on his neck.
Do not mess with New York Giraffe or his neck. That's where he gets it on.
I'm a little worried because New York Giraffe, his head is peeking in through my upstairs window, and it seems like that window could just precariously shut at any moment.
It will not. I insist.
Is the game fun?
Oh, like, man. Is this game fun? So you can explore wherever you want. You got free range. You're getting, like, double jumps and slide moves to explore further. But more importantly, there's sexy rabbit girls.
Oh, good.
Also, no, that's pretty much it. There's sexy rabbit girls.
Oh,
that did it for me.
Hey, Russ. Oh, no. No, Russ. Don't slam the door. That'll... No, Russ, you slammed the door and it dropped the window on New York Giraffe's neck.
No, I'm still fine.
Oh, God, is he okay?
No, I'm fine.
No, I don't think he's okay.
I'm good.
I think he's hurt.
Don't you guys have any questions about this game apart from the sexy rabbit girls?
Is he outside the window now? Is that what's going on? Like, shouldn't he be more muffled?
No, I'm fine.
Okay. Improv. I can't let this go on anymore.
So
Plant, you are actually the only person with the power to stop this.
So I'm ready to vote. I think New York Giraffe is slowly drowned in his own spittle.
Let me just say, sexy rabbit girl.
Are you melting?
Yeah, he just melted in the pool of boredom on my carpet. So here's what I'm thinking. The bummer here is Dust Elysian Tale is actually probably the best game. And yet again, you have brought the best game, technically, but described it as a piece of shit.
I didn't describe it. It was New York Giraffe describing it. I played that game too, and I found it great.
I'm interested to hear about Popo and Yo. I was looking forward to it, but I certainly was not pitched as a winner. And maybe that was a service to me. Now I know.
Yeah. You're welcome.
It's good to hear that because I'm not gonna say everybody, but I will say there is a tendency sometimes to reward the trying. And not the actual accomplishing.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Yeah.
The gold star effect.
Heavy rain.
So, yeah. Anything Dave Cage. So, yeah. Popo and Yo's out. I think that's okay.
Yeah.
It's down to Sleepy Dogs and Dust.
So, I'm going to... Let me... Because I don't think New York Giraffe quite explained...
What a surprise. One of the Dust did not describe a game very well.
It's not my fault. He's a giraffe. He has certain needs, and they're met by busty rabbit girls.
Uh-huh.
I would say that Dust the Losing Tale, for people that like Castlevania Symphony of the Night, and I think there are many of them, for people that like Metroid, for people that liked Shadow Complex, it is... You know, on the level of those games, and even at times one-ups those games by having an actual combat engine, which those games definitely do not have. I will say, while New York Giraffe prefers certain visual designs, I found the, like, furry character design pretty distracting and lame. What are you talking about? They were awesome! Sorry, New York Giraffe.
Wow, that pile of vile just started speaking and gurgling.
So, yeah, it that would be the one drawback from it. But otherwise, it's great, and I really have very little complaints with it.
You know what? I'm gonna take for this because I'm not giving it to the underdog. I'm gonna actually say
I think
it's Dust.
Why?
Because it's like a small indie game that has been in development for a while.
It was made by one guy, so
yeah. I'm gonna give it to
Sleepy Dogs.
To Sleepy Dogs.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm a sucker for 7.0s. You know, like 7 out of 10s.
So is Justin.
I love, yeah. Justin and me are on the same page. We're the Metro 2033 fans. I love games that, you know, they may not be perfect, but there's like they stumbled across the finish line.
Yeah. The unfortunate thing about Justin's game is that he mentioned one feature that he liked, which was the hand-to-hand combat.
and nothing else.
I will also say
that's the majority of the game, though. I'm just really excited to play it. Because I also said the driving is
good.
And also the performances and writing are good.
Also, do you know you can play as Just Cause 2's hero in the game? There's a Just Cause 2 costume if you have a Just Cause 2 save file. And we know that my bias always swings in favor of Just Cause 2 in any capacity. So
as it should.
As it definitely should. So Sleepy Dogs wins. Is Sleepy Dogs a music creation platform hybrid of the future that justifies you owning the PlayStation Vita? No. And no, it's not. So I don't think it beats Sound Shapes. I think Sound Shapes is it's Hall of Fame. Oh no, it's not Hall of Fame. It's our current bestie.
It's remaining.
But it has Hall of Fame potential.
So Chris made a unilateral decision, but I think we could probably all agree that Sleepy Dogs does not beat Sound Shapes. Correct?
I'll buy it.
Justin?
That seems fair to me.
Okay. Fair enough.
So is everybody still alive? Because this is the least energetic ending of a podcast ever.
We made it past New York Draft. You know, like, I think the hardest thing to get excited about is a game where there is promise that has been squandered. You know, it's like there's nothing more deflating than like getting excited about a fresh idea. Like, oh, what if it's an open world game that doesn't have murder in it? Or, you know, what if it's this metaphorical take on a pretty well-worn story at this point in other media, and to see that sort of, I don't know.
You know the cool
why
thing
are we rewarding
is,
this game?
What
all Justin can talk about is how disappointed he is. Why are we rewarding this game I'm when the only complaint I had was that there were furries in it?
I really don't like furries.
Lisa, truth comes out.
Well,
I'm fine with that. It didn't win bestie, so it's fine.
The guy that made this game, the one sole guy that worked on this game for 7 years, is sitting in his house weeping listening to this podcast.
I'm going to play that game this weekend. Unfortunately, it was not justified to me in a very good way by either you or New York Giraffe, but I'm going to play it this weekend. If it is great, I'm happy to come back next week.
And say how wrong you were?
And say how wrong I was. That means he'll get 2 weeks worth of, you know...
And you know who will come back and get his comeuppance?
Not New York Draft, because I'm going to put up an electric fence. I'm going to start carrying around tranquilizer guns.
He's going to be back.
I think that's a wrap. We can call it right here, right now.
Do it.
I'm going to go buy a Metro card.
I hate you. There's no way you could ride the subway. It doesn't make sense.
It's really difficult.
It doesn't. No, it's impossible.
Get
out of
yoga.
Here, giraffe. Stupid giraffe. So, I guess that's going to do it for us this week of the besties. Sleepy Dogs is the best game of the week, but it is not better than Sound Shapes. I think we can all agree on that. But that's going to do it for us. Make sure to join us again next Friday for the besties, when we'll pit all the newest, latest, hottest games against each other. Does anybody have any idea what they'll be bringing next week? What's like the next thing they're moving on to?
I think someone needs to bring Darksiders.
Darksiders 2, somebody should play that, yeah.
What else comes out next week?
And many other games. Oh, all that and more. Until then, you can follow our writing, theverge.com/polygon. We're in the middle of Gamescom, so there's lots of news coming and previews and videos and features and all that good stuff. So go check it totally out. Follow us at Polygon on Twitter or Facebook/Polygon, YouTube/Polygon, you name it. Grindr/Polygon, we're all over it. And thank you for listening, and make sure to join us again next Friday for the besties, because should the world's best friends pick the world's best games? Peace.